Okay, good. I'm going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3, and so I'm going to be in a message that I've studied a lot for this message, a lot more than I do for most messages, just trying to understand something that I've kind of wondered about for a long time, never really found a good clarity on it from other teachers or preachers or commentaries or anything, and I think kind of they understand a little bit of it, and I understood a little bit of it, but I wanted to preach on this and maybe understand it better myself. And so, but to 2 Peter chapter 3, I want to talk about, and this is with a question mark at the end, the title is, The Last Days of the Last Days, or The Last Days of the Last Days. And so 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to start at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, things continue as they were from the creation of the world. 2 Peter 3 and verse 5. Let's see. From the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let's pray. Lord, teach us and guide us into all truth. Lord, help us understand exactly your teaching and the practicality of it, Lord, and the importance of it. And as we read these verses, and just a little bit been on some end times things lately, Lord, I pray that we would certainly have your discernment. I long to teach what you teach, Father, and I pray that you would just make this clear to me and to all of us, and we would grasp your truth and also apply it, Father. Just may your Spirit speak and help us to realize where and where we are and what we should be doing. And we just thank you for the word and for all that it has and how it flows together in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in the end times, in the last days, let me phrase that right, in the last days, it says here that there will come scoffers in verse 3. Now notice it says there shall come, not there is come or there are, but there shall come. So he's talking about something in the future, obviously, here by the wording very clear. There shall come in the last days scoffers. So it's something in the future, and they are mockers, and they don't. They make fun of God. They make fun of that, and and so you can kind of know the end time, because now they're not just, you know, I don't believe that, or what you believe is fine, or whatever. They disagree. They debate with you, but they're actually mocking and scoffing at the truth of God and of creation. And boy, there's been an increase of that. Right now, they got people, atheists on purpose, going to city hall meetings that allow prayers, and they will just make a total mockery of it. They'll pray to Santa Claus and Zeus and the purple monster, and they'll do all these things to make a mockery of it. And they teach us we should be tolerant, and that's the way it is. And so we have that. That wasn't true, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Very rarely you have someone who's that nasty and vicious. It's getting more and more common now. And it's all over TV. And you see shows all the time that mock God and things like that. And so we see that. It's similar to another verse, though. Let me take you to 1 Timothy 3. We'll be this passage in 1 Timothy 3 a couple times. 1 Timothy 3 and 4. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 3 and 4. And but we'll go to chapter 3 for right now. And you might want to put something in that page, because we'll be back there in that area. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. There's some future event there, right? In the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers. Instead of saying, know this, that we're in perilous times and men are lovers of themselves. No, he says, perilous times shall come. For they shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And we can go through these things. I could tell you how we are going this direction. I'm not focusing on these lists, but the natural affection of parents not abandoning their kids and, you know, throwing babies in dumpsters and then going to the dance. And I mean, just the disobedient to parents. Do you know if you like the older generation, they say, I would never talk like that to my parents. They'd kill me. And they'd also say, my neighbors would kill me if I talked that way to my parents. The whole neighborhood wouldn't allow it. Okay? And that's pretty traditional. And now the kids rule the roost. And there's many of these things here. And all these things have always been there. There's always been covetous people. But I think we're a little different now. Look at the class warfare right now. Everybody's mad at rich people because they're rich, and I should have been rich. They're taking from me to get rich, and all this stuff. And there's a lot of covetousness and a lot of staring at other people's stuff and things like that. There's just a lot of people are not content with what they have, even though they have more than anybody's ever had, more than they ever had. There was always more, and we live in a lot of things. I mean, these things have always been there, and there's always been people who did these things. But it says in the end times it's going to be the norm and it's going to be overwhelming. And that's what it is. That's what people are. And instead of saying most people are good people trying to do the right thing, you'll be saying, man, it's a cold world out there. You know, a woman might break down on the side of the road in certain areas even today or in certain days, and somebody's going to take care of her. But then there's going to come a day where that lady's afraid you broke down on the side of the road because it's dangerous. Most people don't want to help somebody who falls down. It's just different. We're not talking about that today. It's just someone that you notice there's this day that's going to come, and a last days it's called, and it's going to be a very dangerous, perilous times, it says in this verse. Dangerous, and that is true. Let's go back to our text there in 2 Peter 3, and we'll be back here several times also. In here we see this last days, but then he said something else is going to happen. They're going to mock and say, the whole world's not changed. You say Jesus is coming. Where's the signs of his coming? And then he says, hey, the Lord, he says he comes when he comes. He's going to surprise you. For since the verse 4, for since the day the Father fell asleep, things have continued since they were, but they're willingly ignorant, it says. But you don't need to worry about that. It says, verse 8, be not ignorant, because they're looking for a sign, but be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And so the Lord is not slack concerning this promise. He says, as some men count slackness, God, the Bible says, God is going to do what he said, but God is not slack as some men count slack in their promises. And then he says, you need to get a little perspective here, because the Lord, there's one reason that the Lord calls, says there's last days, and he hasn't come yet. And people are saying, look, you've been saying this is going to happen forever, and it hasn't happened. And by the way, it's been a long time. And God says, God is not slack the way some men count slackness, but the thing you have to understand is God has a different way of timetables than we do. Okay? We say it's been 2,000 years. God says it's been a couple days. Okay, that's what it says here. It says, as some men count slackness, verse 9, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant, it's one thing, that with one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. In other words, God's not impatient like us. God does not think in time frames like we do. God just says, you know, people come and go, the world comes and go. I fold it up and the universe comes and goes, and I fold it up as a piece of clothing and put it away. Day in 1,000 years are all the same to me. Why are you all so worried about it? I'm coming. It's just the other day my son died. God is not in our time spectrum. So for us to be waiting a long time for him is different. And he's not being slack. He's just on his own timetable. And so the Lord works different than us. And so And he says that. Then he says, here's why God has not come yet. Verse 10 is such an nine is such an amazing verse. It basically says the Lord has not come because he's waiting for every last person who wants to get saved before he pours out his wrath. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should repentance, but that all should come, should any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Okay, now he's been talking about, first talks about the last days, and then he talks about the signs of his coming, and then he says the day of the Lord will come. But this day of the Lord is not the last days. The last days is perilous times, men are lovers of themselves. He says the day of the Lord here in verse 10, he literally destroys the universe. Well, men aren't doing anything about being covetous and doing this and that when he's destroying the universe. Okay, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Okay, obviously a different day here. The day of the Lord is not the last days. Okay, and we'll show you a little more about the day of the Lord later, if I can ever get through. I have so many things here to get through. There are obviously separate events here. So I want to give you some thoughts, and I want to talk about the last days. First of all, the Lord does not see things as we do. We mentioned that. He's waiting for the last soul to be saved. The time frame is not the same, and so we see that. This is the thing you have to understand. This is going to confuse you for a sec here. We have been, point number two, we have been in the last days since at least Pentecost. Okay, you have to understand that. We've been in the last days since at least Pentecost. Okay, let's just read you. Well, we're in Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter and chapter 1. You know what? I bet it's 2 Peter 1:20. Got so many verses here. Nope, it's not. Got these verses. I got so many verses written down here. I got the wrong one for that one. And let me take it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, 1 and verse 2. I'll find that verse a little later. It's going to come back up later. Hebrews and Hebrews and chapter 1. God, who at sundry times, in verse 1, in diverse manners, spake in time past, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. These last days, whom he hath appointed to be heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We've been in the last days since at least Pentecost, maybe since Jesus rose from the dead. I don't think the Bible tells us that 100% sure which one it was, but in Acts chapter 2, and at Pentecost comes, all the flaming fires and all those things, and then verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known this day unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but a third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will in those days pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So he says, hey, you see these miracles, you see the power of the Spirit. He says, this is what was prophesied in the last days. Okay? I'll pour out my spirit, and I'm going to do this thing. And so he says that is what it is. These are the last days. But now watch, because it's important to the lesson here. Watch what he says now. We saw the Spirit poured out, and they're prophesying, and they're speaking in tongues and doing all these miracles. But watch what he says. And on my servants, my handmaidens, verse 18, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now hold on. All the first parts of the signs just happened, but the second part of the signs didn't just happen. The stars turned to blackness, the stars falling, all these things. wonders in heaven above. All it records is tongues of fire on them. They're speaking in languages, and every man hears them in their own language, and all these things. And the Spirit is poured upon everybody there. They all began, it says, to speak in tongues and all these things. That includes the women, and it says in the handmaidens, I'll pour out my Spirit. And all those things are happening. But verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. That's stuff that Revelation tells us happens. Okay? But that's not happening at Pentecost. Why? Because you have the last days, and then you've got the end of the last days. And I'll explain that to you a little bit better a little later as we get towards the end of the message, as we see that. And so we do that. that verse is I'm going to read it, 1 Peter 1:20. I did have it right. For verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, talking about Jesus, but was manifested in these last days for you. That's 1 Peter 1:20. That's the verse you're looking for earlier. He's manifesting these last days. So those are the last days. Peter said we're in the last days, but there's these signs in the last days of blood and fire and vapor and smoke. We see that. So we've been in the last days for 2,000 years at least, since Pentecost, and we see that. Notice, though, only part of the last days are filled. Number three, there are clear divisions of these last days. Okay, we just saw that. We just saw that in Acts chapter 2. For example, I'm going to show you several divisions of the last days. I'm going to show you several different events of the last days. It's the last days of earth, okay? But God says it starts, the end of the world, the last days begin at Pentecost. So maybe 50 days after Jesus was resurrected, maybe at Pentecost. Somewhere the last days started. And God poured out his Spirit. I'm guessing Pentecost, because he said this is Joel 2 being fulfilled, which Joel 2 kicks in the last days. And so we think that's when it starts. So I'm going to show you a bunch of different things about the last days and when the Bible refers to it and different events that are part of the last days. And then all of a sudden it makes sense. Isaiah chapter 2. And if you're writing references, I'm going to give you some other ones. We won't turn to them all because they're similar passages. Isaiah chapter 2. In verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. By the way, we were watching something about Jerusalem, me and my family, and they're showing the famous picture. You can always see the golden dome of the rock there in Jerusalem. In the end times, including this verse and the other verse that goes along with this, Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and forward. The house of God is lifted up way above all the hills. So if you look at it, it's not even the highest spot in Jerusalem right now. But God's going to change the geography, probably the great earthquake. But the Temple Mount's got to rise a whole lot higher than this. And it's pretty interesting right now. It's not even the highest spot in the area around it. But it will be exalted. It's a symbol of God's exalted above all. And probably is sitting where it symbolizes where God is in the world right now. And where it will be, but we see that in the last days, God's mountain will be exalted, and the whole world, in the next verses, will come to Jerusalem and worship God. We know that's a thousand year reign of Christ, when Jesus is on earth in Jerusalem, that's called the last days. Okay, we see that there. It's a different thing. Jesus on earth in Jerusalem is the last days. Now, I believe what we've read before in 2 Peter, and let me take you to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I believe there are what are the last days of the last days, we'll call them. And there's another phrase in the Bible. We read it in 2 Peter 3, these things shall come. Let's go to 1 Timothy. And chapter 4. In verse 1. In verses 1 through 3. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, now there's a new phrase I want to give you. The latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The Bible doesn't say this. I believe the hot iron that their conscience is seared with is video, TV, internet videos. I think that they see so many terrible acts that just get cold to things. I don't know that. I don't have a Bible to prove it. I just think something sears people's conscience where they just, their conscience says, I don't care. That's not bad anymore. And but it says, having their conscience seared at the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created we receive with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Of them which believe and know the truth. for every creature of God is good, and nothing to refuse, it received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified, it is cleansed by the word of God in prayer. Good verse for mission trips. And so here's this thing. It says, we've seen in the end times, perilous times shall come. We've seen these times are going to come when people will be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud. We know that and they'll come as scoffers, saying, where's the promise of his coming? These are all times to be coming. In this passage, it says, in the latter times, in the latter days. So I believe we've been in the end times, obviously, since the time of Christ. God is not concerned about times like we are. But I believe toward the end of the latter days, when we're getting ready for Jesus to come back, it seems like the Lord is saying, there's going to become very dangerous times. And society is going to massively change. Okay? And it'll be noticeable, and it'll be drastic, and there's an ebb and flow. There's bad times. There's certain cultures that are very bad. There's up and down times. There's revival, and there's wicked times, and many nations have been good and bad. But society is in this realm of kind of this ebb and flow that it goes back and forth, but it's going to go like this all of a sudden, and become very dangerous for Christians, okay? And very perilous times. And that is what it's going to end up as, and that's where it'll be. And we see it in this passage and others. It's called latter times. Many events are for the latter days. And so we see that. And so there's a bunch of things that are going to happen. And so we see different phrases about the latter days, okay? Toward the end, okay? Not just the last days, but the latter days. Now, sometimes it's called, know that in the last days, these things shall come. So you're seeing signs of these things. I'm going to show you some things about latter days. I'm not going to turn to all of them, but just things in the end time, the latter days, the end times. In Daniel chapter 10, for example, there's a lot of verses all over the Bible here. And we're trying to turn to verses that are near each other just because we're. And I'm going to give you some other verses you can turn to on your own. While you're turning to Daniel 10 and verse 14, you can write down Hosea 3:5, Jeremiah 49:39, and we'll turn to some others. But in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 14, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 14, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Yet for the vision is for many days. Okay? So, and then he goes into the prophecy of Antichrist and all these things in the latter days, what will happen. And you see that. And then go to Ezekiel, which is right before Daniel, and chapter 38. So now the latter days, I think you're talking about right before Christ comes and then during the tribulation possibly. And that's way at the end of the last days. Ezekiel 38. In verse 16, and thou shalt come against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and it shall be in the latter days that I'll bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, and that I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before my eyes. Now, this is prophecy, Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, is a prophecy of Gog coming against Israel, and they're just knocked back by God. Almost everybody thinks that happens at the start of the tribulation, or right before the tribulation, or right at the beginning of the tribulation. But, and everybody kind of agrees on that, that it happens that time where probably Russia and maybe Turkey, some other countries come in and attack Israel, and God knocks them back, okay? And God takes care of them. That is called in the latter times, okay? And there's other things that happen in the latter times. So we're seeing this latter times. It seems to refer the last days of the last days, or latter times, to refer to the world becoming cold and a very dangerous time. Let's go to Jude, way at the end of the Bible, and verse 18. And it says this, how, verse 17, let's start there. But beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Okay, so again, we see these same kind of, you see the same verse, a lot of verses say the same thing. At this last time, there'll be people coming who walk after their own lusts, who are mockers and nasty and vicious, and it's perilous times. People love their own selves. They're without natural affection. A lot, their conscience is seared at the hot iron. Now, we've said there's the last day after Pentecost, they'll learn that. Jesus on earth is called the last days. The last days of the last days, we read those verses about the latter days, and then we see the last day, okay? Let's go to the book of John in chapter 6. The last day. John chapter 6. And verse 39. It says this, John 6, 39, we'll read down through 44. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all they which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And let's see, we'll go all the way through 44. And Joseph said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How saith he then, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can save me except, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The last day. And let me take you to John chapter 12 now. And John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Okay, so, I mean, it's a lot of information. I hurried through. This is three sermons in one, okay? I want to make sure you're following me. You get what I'm saying here. The last day refers to a lot of things. The last days refers to, first of all, everything since Pentecost. And then it also refers to this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then it calls those days the latter days. And so there's a time coming during, obviously, it was after Pentecost. They knew it was the last day. And these same people like Paul, who wrote, we're in the last days, also said, know that in the last days, these things shall come, okay? And so he could be referring to just bad times for the next 2,000 years, but there had been bad times before that. And so these things are going to happen, and people are going to change, and these become very dark. And then he says, hey, a bunch of things are going to happen to Israel during the last days. Literally in Deuteronomy, he talks about Israel returning to the land in the last days, way before Christ. And I'm so glad that I've accepted Christ and know I'm saved, because all this stuff in the last days is going to happen. Even if the mockers all mock. But there's going to become the last days of the last days that will be perilous, it says, okay? Now, understand, he also says in the same passage, he comes as a thief in the night, he can come anytime, but these things will begin to happen. And there's something to be ready for. Let me illustrate it with this. You're following me so far? Let me make sure you're following me here. You're following what I'm saying here? Okay. Okay, so let me illustrate it this way. Let's say dad's talking to his son, or grandpa's talking to his grandson, and says, let me tell you, at the end of your life, you're going to wish that you'd have done this, and this, and this, and this. Okay? Now, grandpa's sitting there saying, I'm coming to the end of my life, and I wish I'd have done this, and this, and this. So there's the end of your life, you know what I mean? But then there's the end of your life. Okay? You understand the difference? I mean, you could say, you know, at the end of your life, you're going to wish you'd have done this, but you might still live 2-3 years at the end of your life. But then, I've been in the intensive care unit where the machine was keeping them breathing, and they knew they had to be unplugged, and they were at the end of their life. See the difference? Okay. It's the end of the end. Okay. So, we as a world are in our 70s. And at the end of our world, the end of our life, very perilous times shall come. Now, certainly that's during the tribulation. We know that because they're going to cut your head off if you don't take the mark of the beast, okay? That's perilous times for believers that'll be saved in tribulation. We know that. But there's that kind of phrase. In the last days of your life, you might say it that way. But then there's really the last days of your life where you're at the very, very end. You might be saying, I'm doing that. Or let's say it this way. Somebody might say, you know, as the country collapses, some people say America is beginning to collapse. But you ever read history, what happens when a nation is the days where it's actually collapsing? The last days of the Roman Empire? I mean, we're not there. But is it crumbling maybe? Is the nation falling apart maybe? Listen. I mean, there's countries that have fallen apart. There's countries that are getting near the end, but they aren't Germany in 1928. Okay? They aren't the Roman Empire. They aren't, you know, the Boxer Rebellion or the Bolsheviks coming into Russia. It's not there. And so you really get at the end of something. Okay? You know, your car is dying, right? My car is dying, but you know when it's really dying, right? When parts start falling off and it won't run anymore, when, you know, it catches on fire, or when you know your car's dead. But before that, my car's been dying for about 5 years. It's in its last days. You ever say, he's on his last leg? Okay? You say a dog's on his last leg, and then the dog lasts 3 more years. Okay, but then you know it's really dying. Okay, so we're at the same type of thing. The last days, we're in the last days because Jesus could come back at any moment. Okay, but at some point, the perilous times come and we do that. Okay, next, point number four, the great Christian is ready for the last days. This is the whole message here, okay? All that was to get to this. That was a little introduction. I got 14 more points and we're done. I'm kidding. And this is the end of the end, okay? And the great Christian is ready. I'm closing the sermon up, but I'm not in the last part of the sermon. The great Christian is ready for the last days. Let me take you to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Watch this. This is so good. 1st, underneath that, A, they take advantage of opportunities they have right now. Watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If we looked at earlier, if you looked at perilous times shall come, start of chapter 3, okay? Watch chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Right now, people are rejecting when Paul was preaching, okay? But there'll come a time when they will not endure it, okay? But after their own lust, they heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to the fables. So what do you do, Timothy? Preach the word every chance you get right now. A good Christian says, hey, worse times are coming. I'm free right now to go soul winning. I better go do it. I'm free to be a witness for Christ. I say, you understand, they're already tightening up restrictions in Canada. Okay? You have the chance right now. Isn't it amazing? Always loving people have the opportunities and they don't do it. Then afterwards they say, well, I wish I had the opportunity. I'd go do that. Listen, I promise you, if you won't go soul winning now and you won't witness now, you will not do it when it's illegal. Is that logical? Okay? So what Christians do is say, hey, you know what? I'm free right now to do what I want. I can pass out tracts. I can witness to my neighbors. I can give to missions. I can take a mission trip. I can go to church every Sunday. I can carry my Bible to work. I can do all these things. I'm going to take advantage because I don't know if something's going to change. That's what good Christians do. Timothy, preach the word right now. You got a chance to do it. That's what good Christians do. That's good. Amen. I like that. That's practical. Underneath that also, I got this A, B, and C underneath point four. Great Christians are ready for the last days. We said they take their opportunities. Next, they usually think they're in the last days of the last days. so they are alert and ready. This is what confuses people a little bit. As you read the New Testament, you will find the people who wrote the Bible are saying, it's about to happen. It's about to happen. And they were getting ready for it. Okay, I can take you a bunch of passages. I'll take you a couple. 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. Now, he's talking about Antichrist coming, but he says, we know it's the last time because many Antichrists have come. You say, well, why didn't he know better that there would be one Antichrist in charge and all this stuff like that? Because he wasn't as fortunate as you. He didn't have the whole Bible. You know a lot more about prophecy than John did. They wish they had as much Bible as you have. And so he said, we're in the last times. There's Antichrist right now. We know it's the last time. But that was 2,000 years ago. Let me show you Romans in chapter 13. So obviously John thought he was there at the end. Antichrist about to come. It was about to happen. And I read a passage that said, he won't delay any longer. He's coming. Romans 13. This is Paul, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. Do you see how he's thinking, hey, it's about done, guys. It's wrapping up. You better be ready. So good. If you read books, I'm reading a book on the history of American revival right now. let me read. This is John Wesley, 1740 probably when he wrote this, somewhere in there. this is what he says. But the more mindful, but this is about on our text verse, 2 Peter 3:3, about the scoffers will come. But the more mindful thereof, because they know scoffers will come first, because the Lord comes. Walking after their own desires, here is the origin of the error, the root of libertinism. Do we not see this eminently fulfilled? Did you know if you read John Wesley, he thought he was in the end times? Do you know if you read Spurgeon, he thought it was in the end times? You follow revivalists, you find people thinking, about done. We're in the end times. Look around. Look how bad it is. Why? Because they did it in the Bible too. It's the mindset of every Christian. Jesus is coming. We need to be ready. It's about done. It's about time to go. When I was first a Christian, mid-80s, my pastor got up there and preached, hey, listen, this ship of America is about sunk. Jesus is about to come back. The world is changing and rotten, and we need to be ready for Jesus to come back. And I'm sure glad I listened to him. In the 1986. Why? Because good Christians always think Jesus is about to come. And it makes them have that fervency and holiness and do those things. It's very common. Third thing underneath is C. Good Christians are always think they're in the last days. C. This is so good. Even bad news is good news. You say, oh, the world's so messed up. You see what they did to those kids in Pakistan? Awful. You see what the Muslims are doing. You see what the marches of protests are doing here. Do you see the kidnappings happen here? Do you see the terrorism here? Do you see the the war over here? See the poverty? You know, even when bad things happen, it just means Jesus is a little bit closer to coming and fixing this messed up world and going to make it into paradise. And that's why. They were always wanting Jesus to come back. Now, we are much farther along, and we have a lot more Bible than the Apostle Paul and John had. Israel's return to the promised land, as the Bible said. The European Union, Europe is reunited, as the Bible said they would. This all stuff that wasn't there in the 80s when I first started serving the Lord, at least the European Union. There's a lot of things we can go into that are a lot closer now. But we're just a lot farther along. Now, I don't know if we're in the end of the end times. I don't know if Jesus is about to come. I don't know if the tribulation is about to start. I just know I better be ready and busy and not concerned so much about this world that's going to pass away. Now, let's go back to our original text and read it again. 2 Peter chapter 3. Good Christians are always ready. Now let's read this passage we started off with, and it'll make, I think, sense with what we just taught. Go back and 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out in the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved into fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but also kind of repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all manner of, in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account for the longsuffering of our Lord as salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Do you follow everything we just did? That makes sense to what he just taught? See the whole passage there? Just be ready. He says, hey, we're not too worried about this stuff. We know God's coming. We know he's coming back. They can say, oh, you've been saying that for years. We have, and all of a sudden, one day, whoosh, where'd they go? And Antichrist will come. All those things will happen. It'll be a terrible time. Tribulation will come. Great tribulation. Destruction of the world. But thank God, the last days are not a horror for Christians. It just means Jesus is coming. And the world, yeah, it's changing. America's changing. But Jesus is coming. And remember the old bumper sticker, Jesus is coming, and boy, is he mad. And so I'm glad I'm ready, and I hope you're ready for Jesus to come. Let's pray. Lord, we're so glad to have your word. I thank you that we can understand a little bit about the mindset of the Christians. We're talking about these perilous times that shall come and the toward the end of the end times. That's what it seems like it's saying, Father, and we thank you for your word. Boy, Lord, went the Old Testament, went the New Testament, went all over the Bible, Father, and you talked about it. Many, many passages. Help us to just not, help us be prayerful. Help us to watch and see what's happening. Help us to be praying, and help us to be laboring to change the world and doing the things we should do. But help us to rejoice because Jesus is coming. Help us also to be diligent to be found in you and ready if you come back this week. Thank you. So many things have happened. Nothing else has to happen on the prophetic timetable, Lord. We just pray that even so come, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for, Lord, the great things you're doing around the world and the great harvest. And the gospel's been preached to the end of the world right now. We thank you for that. Work, 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 we pray. And do a great work in our lives. Help us be ready. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you ready?